Welcome to the Chesapeake Agricultural Innovation Center's podcast. I'm Muffin Whitney, and I'll be your guide for exploring the interesting people and exciting projects that the Ag Innovation Center is providing to value-added food producers in Maryland and Delaware. Recently, my colleague Emiliano Espinoza and I had the distinct pleasure of visiting Tom and Tina Cropper's Operations Center for their spirulina product. Spirulina, you ask, what is that? Well, spirulina is a blue-green algae superfood produced for centuries and used in many countries and cultures around the world as an important food source. There have been, over the years, many claims made for spirulina, many of which have stood up to scientific scrutiny. All some people need to know about spirulina is that NASA uses it as a food source, but I encourage you to satisfy your own curiosity by doing an internet search on spirulina. And I also encourage you to stick to scientific sites such as WebMD.com, the National Library of Medicine, and MountSinai.org. I will have more information on my personal due diligence into spirulina at the end of the podcast. In the meantime, here's what we discussed at the Cropper's operation in Salisbury. Tom, what sparked your and Tina's interest in spirulina, and how did you very first become aware of it?
We were, for the past 3 years, selling our old-fashioned candy at farmers markets and wanted to produce a product that was healthier, better. We added granola, but I was really looking for the best food.
A superfood.
And I heard a podcast talking about spirulina, and it really intrigued me, and it sounded like it fit the bill. NASA calls it the perfect food.
When did you decide to become a producer of spirulina, having found out about it and all of its benefits? And what were some of the deciding factors that convinced you to just go ahead and do this?
Well, about a year and a half ago, we began doing the research on the production of spirulina. Where is it being grown? And I found that most of the spirulina that's cultivated in the United States is in the South: Florida, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, and Southern California. So I was very concerned about whether we could be successful producing spirulina up here in the north, at least in the Mid-Atlantic area, until I found somebody growing spirulina. Actually, my wife found them growing spirulina in Brooklyn, New York. And I'm saying, well, it's colder in Brooklyn than it is here. I said, if they can do it successfully, then maybe we can too. So we contacted them and signed a consulting agreement with, and they've done a very good job of teaching us how to grow spirulina in this kind of environment. When we had that, I knew that we would be good. We'd be so okay.
But that couldn't have been the end of the decision making, and there must have been some early obstacles that you faced. How did you handle those obstacles?
We didn't quit. I mean, stuff would die, stuff would dry up, our equipment would fail, we didn't have enough light, we'd have too much light. It just took a while for us to learn. And we just failed forward. We learned and we just kept going until we got it.
Well, it sounds like your belief in the product, your belief in the process was strong enough that other people could have seen those as major and just given up.
Well, one of the things that we've learned in other businesses is start with small, fail small, don't fail huge. So if we would lose 2 or 3 gallons, you know, or if we lost a quart of spirulina, that wasn't a big thing. If you're going to fail, fail with small quantities. It doesn't cost you as much.
You and Tina were among the first participants in the Chesapeake Agricultural Innovation Center's Business Solutions for Value-Added Producers program. How has participating in that program helped with your spirulina project and also with your sweet gnome products?
Number one, it confirmed a lot of things that we were doing right. We've been in business for 30 years, so we've learned a few things. But it also helped us do some things that we really needed to do. Put a good business plan together so that I have a focus. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. Sometimes as an old software programmer, I can get scatterbrained and go off in lots of different directions. This gave us a laser's focus to move forward. Also, folks at Curate helped us with the marketing that we've got now, social media stuff, funding, helping to find funding. Just little things make a huge difference. Huge.
Emiliano, you've got the perspective of working closely with CAKE participants. What can the other participants learn from Tom and Tina's experience and from the way that Tom and Tina made use of the CAKE program?
I remember Tom would show up to the virtual presentation while he was at the farmer's market. I would always be surprised that he would still be on the call. Maybe he didn't have his video on, but he would be there. I loved how he showed up to everything that we provided. I would suggest that other participants that want to participate in the CAC program, that they do the same. They don't have to be experts in business. They don't have to be experts at what they do. If they show up and participate, you're going to get so much value like Tom is sharing with us. So that's the main thing that I appreciate about Tom's participation in the program and the value he's gotten from us.
So it sounds like the program is there and it offers a lot, but you're only going to get out of it what you participate in. That's where I think you and Tina have been such good guideposts for other people in the program, is that you are committed to being in the program and to getting the most out of it. And I think that's extremely important. Tom, one last question and then one last question for Tina. Will the spirulina you're producing be a consumer-ready product? And if so, what form will it take? And the very important question, when's it going to be available?
Well, initially we're going to have two products. First is our fresh spirulina, which will ship overnight, and it needs to be refrigerated. It has a two-week shelf life. The second product will be our frozen product. Instead of packaging it right away, we'll freeze it overnight and then package it. That has a one-year life in the freezer. We're waiting on our state approval. As soon as we get state approval, which I'm thinking is weeks, maybe a couple of months, then we'll be ready to start distributing.
So you'll have it ready to go out the door as soon as the state says you can do this.
Exactly right.
Super.
Yes.
And Tina, I understand that you are relying on your candy background to make some interesting products with the spirulina. They're not going to be consumer products, but you're going to have them available for tasting at events?
Yes, I'm going to work on making spirulina cheesecake and also mix it with milk chocolate. Might make them as like a brittle.
Oh, yum, yum. So there's a lot to this spirulina stuff. And I think people are going to be awaiting it very anxiously, and they will be able to keep up with your progress on the CAIC.org website. And thank you also very much for sharing your information with us today.
Thank you.
Emiliano and I were able to get up close and personal with spirulina on our visit to the Cropper's spirulina facility in Salisbury. We saw the new and innovative ways that the Croppers are producing this superfood. And yes, we were able to sample some of the finished product. How did it taste? Well, Emiliano and I both asked for seconds. Tom and Tina had mixed a helping of fresh, that is to say liquid, spirulina with apple cider. On the nose, there were lovely caramel notes, and on the palate, you could taste the appleiness of the apple cider and the very pleasant taste of the spirulina. You can take the spirulina straight, or you can mix it with just about any liquid or soft food of your choice. It will be interesting to see how the beautiful deep green color mixes with, say, blueberry yogurt. For the Chesapeake Agricultural Innovation Center, I'm Muffin Whitney.